T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Dan Carcillo with us on The Score.
I decided to take the plunge, and I went to a traditional mushroom ceremony containing psilocybin, and after that, I felt different, and it broke my destructive thought pattern.
That's not a name that I found. It's a name that found me on a vision quest. Something that you should do.
No, I'm not going to eat a bunch of drugs and sit out in the desert and hope some name randomly pops in my head.
Well, then I question your leadership.
I got connected to Decriminalize Nature, which is a movement to give back our inalienable right to use these medicines as healing tools.
Having the recreational usage conversation, I'm your Huckleberry. It's been many years, but I wouldn't endorse it, but I can't say I ever had a bad experience on it. Half a dozen times, probably, with mushrooms.
The mushrooms are turning on me! I'm not your papa.
Probably 10 or 12 with what was called blotter acid. Little stamp you'd let dissolve on your tongue. Never had a bummer on it. Always wonderful.
I got no problem with it, even if it's not something that I would do.
We need to move Lonzo.
That ain't no problem.
Huh?
That ain't no problem.
You might try it if it became legal. You might you'd give it a taste. Something tells
probably.
Me you might, yeah. I'm going to stay in retirement if I'm told ever I'm terminal. That would be the one I'd come out of retirement for.
That makes sense.
I'm terminal. All right, where's the blotter?
Why would the mushrooms once stuff mushrooms? Oh, platter.
I got dosed with acid once back at 68. I was with your dad and them at the Copa. The Oasis store just put it in my drink. Jerry Vale started singing, and I look over. Your Uncle June's got a laser beam shooting out his eyes.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
It's almost Ripken-esque in terms of consecutive opens where Tanny can work in a Sopranos reference. I was like, is he going to do it? He's going an entire Mushrooms montage without the Sopranos. There's Paulie Walnuts at the Copa. Perfect. He nailed it.
Yeah, he did. Mushrooms, a big part of the conversation with Dan Carcillo yesterday, a conversation that went into a lot of directions, and you and I, our antenna always perk up when mind-altering substances are brought up. Some would say we're a bad influence on society by talking. You know, I live to talk about a lot of things, so I'm pretty forthright about it, but I got to tell you the truth, and I never thought I would be here in this mindset. With it going medicinally legal, I'm intrigued because I never trusted dosages when it came to that substance. I always under-consumed, and I never got the plane in the air like everyone else did in the room. I think maybe one time. And now that it's been regulated or possibly going to be regulated and done under the supervision of the government, Big Brother never let you down, would he, Danny?
Never.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
Yeah, you know, it was never, I never tried it. I'm not particularly interested in anything that, like, makes you lose control, like I said yesterday. But it's natural. It grows in the ground, so it strikes me as being better than so many chemicals and substances that are not. And so I know many, 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 many people who speak highly of their experiences in their youth. Yeah. And would I recommend it? No, that's not what we're here to do. But am I against the idea of decriminalization? Legalization, regulation? No. Generally speaking, prohibition doesn't work. And the war on drugs, I think the verdict's in. Massive failure.
Yeah.
So I think that it'd be better to use police resources to do other things, to go after violent criminals as opposed to people that are looking to get the plane in the air, as you like to say. So, yeah, if that was something that Dan Carcillo could be a proponent for, I'm all for it. And medical studies, man, like I am at the point where I don't know that there are really two sides to the argument on like medical marijuana or medical use of mushrooms. Like if doctors say, hey, this helps with chronic pain or glaucoma or easing the effects of chemotherapy, like whatever the case may be, early onset Alzheimer's, like Carcillo was talking about with mushrooms, like how in your right mind could you be against something if someone's got a terminal disease being diagnosed something that's natural that would ease their pain and suffering? Like that, I really don't know that there are two sides to the medicinal argument. Recreational,
yeah, well,
sure, there's a debate, but medicinally there's not.
Thinking people, no. People who just want to be against it for being against it, they're you're not going to convince them. Lots of luck trying. You got many years of doing it here on The Score, Danny, so many years ahead of you. And, you know, the risk-taking factor when it comes to that sort of thing was so decidedly higher with the one I actually gravitated to, which was what we called blotter. The word on the street was it contained something in it called strychnine. You familiar with strychnine? Have you heard of that word before?
I don't know.
It's
honestly
rat poison. You get past it because you guys say they've done it, and it causes a little bitty speedy trip at the beginning for 30 minutes. You can't sit still, and then Pandora's box opens real wide for you, and you spend the next 6 hours laughing your ass off with your buddies. So, you know, I got past that word. I tried not to think about that word, and I ain't proud about it, but I lived to tell about it and had some laughs along the way. And what did Billy Joel say? I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. That's one thing he's saying, yeah, but I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth in there, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, you've lived not necessarily long, but you've lived hard and fun. Yeah, right? You got good stories.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a trade-off for that. Like, do you want to live clean and healthy and maybe a little bit boring? Or do you want to enjoy some Ben and Jerry's and the occasional cheeseburger and maybe cut off a few years on the back end? Like, food's too delicious to not consume, and I think you could apply that to other things in life, other indulgences.
Agree.
If I can't do it for breakfast, I don't want any part of it.
Well, Bill.
Hey, food, get your beef now before it's unavailable.
Dude, have you talked to Shane Reardon about this, by the way?
I have not. I'm waiting for a return from Shane right now, as a matter of fact. It's on the new password to the Vibe system, so I can see what the listeners are thinking.
Email sent out yesterday.
I got it. It's not working.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's working with
in.
You? You're good?
Yeah, I'm in.
I punched it in. I tried it twice, and he said, don't keep doing it if it doesn't work. Well, I did it exactly as instructions dictated, and I'm not in. So anyway, what's up with him and his meat?
I haven't talked to him yet either, but I tuned in briefly last night on the live Instagram and Facebook broadcast that Team Hochberg presented, like Quarantine Cooking with Shane Reardon. And the social media interaction was off the charts. Like, this guy is a content machine. He should be used more and more and more in this way.
Relevant,
and
some might say.
It was relevant. It was fantastic. I was not able to get in there, but the fish taco recipe looked delicious. I was very interested in it. But all I'm saying is this guy eats red meat 8 days a week. Like, what is he going to do if there's actually a beef shortage? Because if you remember, we are now in day, 27 of Scorantine?
28
you,
today, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You're a better counter than I am. If you go back to the beginning when Shep had his concernometer at a zero for this, and I was like, that feels low.
Well,
Shane wasn't at zero, but he wasn't much higher than that. And now, like, I wonder if after a month of hanging out at home and seeing all of the impacts on this, if he, you know, he was up at a 7, 8, 9 out of 10, if this is the thing that maybe pushed him over the edge, the idea of there being a temporary beef shortage in this country.
Yeah, well, the president is on it. He's telling the beef manufacturers, hey, come on now. Come on, we need our beef. Some were wondering where he was with that sort of mentality when people couldn't find ventilators or PPE.
It's up to the states, Mac. You got to keep up, okay? It's up to the states for the breathing machines. Yeah. It's up to the federal government to make sure you can get your Angus burger at McDonald's.
Oh, you can't breathe in New York? Where's my burger?
We have to get our sports back. I'm tired of watching baseball games that are 14 years old.
Oh, imagine that with no meat.
That'd be very difficult. And we know he likes his McDonald's. So what's he going to do? I was reading that in Canada they're removing the Angus beef patties from the McDonald's menu. What are you doing? Just the fish fillet and the nuggets? That sounds terrible. That's not a McDonald's that I want to be going to.
Yeah, well, I'm going to lower my standards when I get on the water in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to prepare for the beef shortage by filling a freezer with bluegill fillets. I've not fished for bluegills. It's a little bitty panfish. You can catch them with real light action tackle. It's way more action than you get fishing for muskies or bass or anything like that. You get into a bunch of bluegill, you'd be catching fish all day on light action tackle, and they are tremendous eaters. It's been at least 20 years since I've put something like a cricket or a bee moth on a hook and tried to catch bluegill. But I'm willing to reduce myself to that since the muskie fishing isn't up to par around here the way it is up northwest Ontario ways. So I'm going to bluegill fish, and I'm going to fill my freezer. And next time we get together for a 15-minute social distance respectful visit downtown, which will be down the road, not too far from now, I will give you guys a bag of bluegill fillets, and you will find them to be absolutely amazing. It'll be one of the best animal fleshes you've ever taken.
Way to go, Danny.
I'm very excited about the fish. It's a tremendous sacrifice that you're making to stoop to this level since you can't musky fish. I didn't understand like 90% of what you were just saying. Like, I'm going to lower myself to this level to cast this bait on this thing. But if it results in all of us getting some fresh fish, I'm very excited about it.
It's a reduction in the level of which, you know, my skill level, Danny. I'm in a much higher skill. That's something you do. You go fishing for bluegill when you're 8 or 9, you know, and you watch the bobber go under the water. Yeah, but
you're an all Madden player. This is bringing you back to just like pro level stuff.
Yes,
I see.
I'm a 7 year. I redshirted. I did not letter 2013, my first year at Andy Myers Lodge University, but I've been a 7 year starter since, and that's what I prefer to do. But this is a way to feed people and deal with the beef shortage that's down the road.
Where's fish?
I don't know.
It's fresh fish. You know, fishing, by the way, you would think this to be an easily remedied way to do something with a buddy that's social distance responsible, right? Two on a boat, you'd think that would be pretty easy. There are a lot of states that are not issuing non-resident licenses. I was contemplating a trip to Ohio with my buddy, a lifelong friend who lives out near Columbus, but Ohio is not issuing non-resident licenses, so that's off. And you put your boat on the water, and game warden comes by, and you're not licensed, that boat will be impounded, and it's going to cost you a lot of money and possibly the chance to not fish in that state for a long time. So I can't do that. I follow the rules. So I'll just keep it around here and slum it with some bluegill fishing.
All right, well, we appreciate you lowering yourself to the bluegill level. It's a tremendous sacrifice you're making, the true victim in these uncertain times. And I will say, these restrictions and it being state by state, and like you being in Indiana and us being in Illinois and everything being just a little bit different, it's confusing. The way you can fish in one place is different than you could fish in another. The way that you can golf in one place is different than you can golf in another. Like, if you're in Florida, you're apparently able to have a party and host spring break and make out with strangers, and it's apparently safe. Like, it's just totally bizarre how different it is in every spot. You know, golf is finally coming back to Illinois in a couple of days, but not only can you not ride in carts, you can't play as foursomes, and you can't, they won't even rent you pull carts, which I absolutely don't understand. Like, you wear a glove and you could wipe it down. And so you can't, you have to carry your bag or bring your own pull cart. But in Indiana, you can play as a foursome and they'll rent you a pull cart. So I don't right. know the arbitrary nature at which all of these different states are, which ones are choosing to do which. And I'm not even going to say like that I know best at all on what it is, but there's no uniformity in this whatsoever.
No, there isn't. And one of the dangers of that is this. When sports leagues start looking at what some states might be doing and start to feel like, hey, we're getting closer to this, that doesn't mean that what the states are choosing to do is the right thing to do.
Correct.
There seems
oh, that's what I'm saying. I have no idea.
Look, it's opening up everywhere. Things are going to be, yeah, let's have 100 games of baseball season and let's split it into three 10-team divisions and we're going to be fine. This is all going to start happening on the 2nd of July because in some states you can stay in an RV park or restaurants are starting to open or whatever. That doesn't mean what they're doing is the right thing right now. So,
no, that's exactly my point. Like on the conservative end, or on the aggressive end, I don't mean conservative politically, I mean conservative in like the truest sense of the word, right? Like if Florida is being real hyper aggressive with like, yeah, everything's fine. And if Illinois and New York and California, you know, because of New York City and the Bay Area and Chicago are being more conservative, I get that there's not a one size fits all thing, but I also understand why when people, you, me, anybody out there, reads the news and sees that it's so different one place to the next, I don't know what the best way to go about this is. And it doesn't feel like any of them do either. It feels like there's a lot of guesswork going on. Right. And call me crazy, in a pandemic, I don't love guessing. I like science and data.
Yes, err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Well, here's what I would like to do today, and I'm glad you're into this. And you listeners, we know a lot of you who love to play the game of golf are itching and you're frustrated if you've tried to get a tee for the weekend and you can't find one because of what Danny was just talking about with how hard it is to get out and some of the restrictions that are on you. Let's look at the positives and let's celebrate that is as of Friday, golf in Illinois is back. And sometime very soon, it might even get a little bit more relaxed. But even if it doesn't, in June, Parkins and I have decided we want to mingle. We want to play golf with a couple of you listeners. And on Friday's show, we're going to reward a few guys who have been listening a lot during the pandemic and have been with us regularly. And we'll ask three questions of you on things that have been said by certain people during our six weeks of doing this now. If you knock down two out of three, we'll take you and a guest out to a five-star course, probably Seven Bridges in Woodridge. That seems to be, you know, establishing itself as our home course as a show, I would suggest, but I'm open-minded to going somewhere else. Yeah, we'll go to Seven Bridges. We'll treat you and a buddy to a breakfast or lunch, depending on which day of the week it is. You know, we got to be downtown if we're working downtown by noon. So we do a morning round. If it's during the week, we'll do a weekend round and have dinner afterward. And also have Bill Walton's breakfast available for you. Nothing shared because we're practicing safe stonage here on the afternoon show.
If I can't do it for breakfast, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, well, you get some really, really fresh something ground up for you and your pal and let you go nuts and play with the wooden therapy box on your own that day. But we'll do that on Friday's show. So that's to say thanks to you if you've spent a lot of time with us.
There's a silver lining. There really is.
See that?
This is the silver lining. Two of you are going to be able to golf with us.
Yeah, you're going to get to play golf with us. Hey, you know who we may play golf with sometime down the road? Jim McMahon. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, his son, is a big fan of ours and was a listener when I was up the dial a few years ago. And he's been talking to his dad about coming on the show for Score Stories. And Jim has never been super comfortable talking about football. He doesn't love talking about football. And I know Jim a little bit, and Sean reminded him of our association. And he, you know, go play golf with Jim McMahon, and then once we pass mustard with him, he'll probably come on. But for sure the golf, which will involve some cool stories.
That'll come in.
Yeah, that will play. The punky QB, who I haven't seen on a golf course since the 90s.
Yeah, and if he wanted to come on and not talk football, we could do that too. Just stories of celebrity and randomness and what it's like being Jim McMahon. We don't have to talk football with him, whatever he wants to do, but I certainly will tee it up with him.
Yeah, well, that was passed along, what you suggested, and it's going to happen. We'll probably do it up at Hilgi's place in southern Wisconsin. Strawberry Creek, which I've been threatening to play at for about 10 years now and have never taken my ass up there. I got to get out there and play.
It sounds good to me. I am certainly in. I am trying to get out there and golf. Just honestly, like, not because I will be any good, but because, God, it'll feel a little normal. Like, even if it's a twosome and you're walking and all that, it'll feel nice to be like, I'm leaving. I will be back in 6 hours. I am going to get out there and shoot 97, and I'm going to enjoy every damn minute of it. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to that little bit of normalcy for mental health as much as physical health.
Hilgi's been listening. Jay Hilgenberg, 7 consecutive Pro Bowl appearances for the Bear. And before I even got to Jim McMahon, he was suggesting Strawberry Creek as one of our 5-star courses. So thank you, Jay. We will definitely take you up on that.
That's beautiful.
How about that, Parkins? The power of the microphone. Super Bowl Bears checking in. Yeah, come play at my course. How about that, Parkins?
That'll play. Kendall Gill.
That'll play.
Kendall Gill tells score stories today at 4 o'clock. He told a great one on the NBC Sports Bulls Talk podcast of using a stripper friend of his at Scores in New York to be a source on how long Dennis Rodman stayed at the strip club. And he just the way he told it was so funny. He was like, yeah, you know, I was single then, and I was a player in New York. And so, you know, I knew a lot of strippers. I mean, they were all sources. But this one in particular I knew I could trust to tell me the truth about Dennis Rodman. So I want to ask him how many other times strippers were sources on his scouting reports. Because apparently Dennis Rodman was in the club until 5 a.m. Kendall Gill was bragging that they were going to crush the Bulls, and Rodman came out and grabbed 20 rebounds in the game. So his source maybe misled him a little bit. So we'll get into stories like that at 4 o'clock. And we're bringing back a modified version of Can't Do It Today. Would you say that's fair?
Tweaked, yes. Tweaked.
Modified, tweaked.
Can't do it.
Yeah, modified, tweaked, right. We're going to do it via the written word. People have gotten to us via Twitter, via Chicago Fanatics, via Facebook, and over the last 24 hours, almost 24 hours, and I've got ample questions that I would like to answer. It's a great time to do it. Look, we haven't had a game played in quite some time, and we've been blessed with sports news and the draft and the Last Dance and Bulls changes. Those are all been – we've had a lot of beef, man. To be at this for 6 weeks and we have not lacked for sports meat when we've wanted it. I mean, it's been there, and we're content without it too. But I think it's a good day for us to take a little bit of inventory. It's a good time for that. Why not? I was kind of inspired to this idea by stumbling upon your thoughts on a message board over the weekend. I hadn't been on Fanatics in probably a month or so, and I stumble upon a 13-ish page thread started by Danny Parkins mingling with the commoners. And there's some things I want to comment on in there, as you know, should the straw think they're pertinent, and we'll entertain some of these questions we got from Twitter and other sources, because there's some real good ones, and we ask of our teams in town to be forthright with us. I know this type of radio, when we get into what goes on at the station, isn't for everybody. There are a lot of hosts who roll their eyes at this stuff. It's our flavor. It's not theirs. It's not everybody's. It's not every listener. And just talk. I don't really care about the relationships or some of the intricacies of what goes on behind the curtain. But we ask of our teams to be forthright with us. We ask that of Michael Reinsdorf when he comes on the station. We're going to ask it of Rocky Wirtz whenever we get the Blackhawks owner on to talk about John McDonough's firing. We can be honest about ourselves in what we're thinking of the product, in what we're feeling about each other on this show, and about where the radio station is. And if you're invested in it, it probably will interest you. If you're not, That's okay. We like to put a lot of different dishes on the menu here on this program, and that's one of them, and it's been gone for quite some time because of the predictability and the stupidity of much of the live questioning. It's subject to who's listening at the time you solicit phone calls and hope you get a few interesting questions, and seldom did we.
And I think that, think of it as an ask us anything. Mac right. And I will be willing to answer questions. Some of it will be about radio. Others won't. And we will go for as long and in the 3 o'clock hour as the questions are good. So we are compiling them already via Twitter and the board and other places. You could start texting them in now. And if as long as we have good, pertinent questions, and the texters have been much better than the callers in this regard, we will be as open of a book as we possibly can be between 3 and 4. An open book with interests.
Thank you.
An open book with interests. I am interested in a few football headlines that are just downright hilarious. We can get into that as well. It's Mac and Park. It's on the Score.
I'm an open book, but I mean, I don't have any specific interests.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Oh, I'm already knowing I can learn a lot from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's one of the GOATs right there in the game. And, I'm excited to be able to come back behind him and just learn as much as I can.
Jordan Love, after being drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Welcome back. Mac and Parkins on the Score. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all of those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including postal workers, CTA staff, and airport staff. We appreciate you. Mac, we've talked a lot about the Monday Night Football booth and there not being high-profile guys in the booth. Well, apparently they auditioned Favre a couple years back, and it didn't go so well.
No, I've heard Brett Favre do some games. He sat in on a Southern Miss broadcast at Alma Mater, and he was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and so he's not a media guy, but he will do occasional interviews. He does some stuff on Sirius NFL radio,
regularly. And
he will pop up from time to time. And he can be fascinating because he's Brett Favre. He's one of the most famous football players of the last 25 years. And apparently, he's talked to Aaron Rodgers since the Packers drafted Jordan Love. I have no idea if Aaron Rodgers thought that they were having this conversation in confidence or exactly what Brett Favre gives up here. But after talking with Rodgers, Favre called in to Rich Eisen, and let's listen to it together.
I think Aaron will finish somewhere else. That's my gut.
Yeah. I mean, because, again, it is crazy how similar this is now happening. It is.
Well, I guarantee you this, and I don't know this for certain, but I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind, which if that's the case, then that means that there's a chip on his shoulder towards the organization that otherwise was not there. And so all he needs is a reason other than this reason to expedite that.
Not supposed
if
to
that's
kiss and
coming
tell.
From right, if that's coming from someone who talked to Aaron Rodgers and he's like, I'm not going to share what we said, but
I'll guarantee you something.
right?
Well, that's killing like, Mississippi on display for you right there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, Brett, like, sure, you're not telling us what Aaron's thinking. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Hey, Danny, the wheels have been turning in Rodgers' head since long before the draft. The wheels have been turning in his head about the possibility of playing somewhere else probably for several years. Don't you think that's accurate?
I mean,
not necessarily imminent, but at some point you're going to wear another uniform. And, players, the best players, and he's among them, are similar in some regards to coaches, and they like to build things. And going somewhere else to put their signature on a different franchise is something they get off on. So just like Brady in Tampa right now. I would be surprised if Rodgers hasn't given some thought to the idea that he will play in another uniform.
Well, he's always said that he wants to finish his career with the Packers. He's also one of the smartest players in football, not just football IQ. Like, he wins when he goes on Celebrity Jeopardy. He is a very intelligent man, so he's not naive to the realities of it. But
somewhere on the North Shore, Hub Arkush is rolling his eyes.
Yeah, he, of course. His stated desire has always been to finish his career with the Packers, and if you go through like Rich Eisen's Twitter account, like I don't know if we have if they've posted any more of the audio, but apparently like he's not happy about it and was surprised by the selection of Jordan Love and now is open to the possibility of playing elsewhere. I'm not saying he's going to be demanding a trade tomorrow, but this is a Favre here. I think the Packers burned a bridge that's going to be hard to overcome, end quote. So, yeah, like trading for Aaron Rodgers, is that now a legitimate conversation for a bunch of teams around the NFL who would be interested?
Man, I don't know. A team that's a really crappy game away from getting to a Super Bowl last year, unless Green Bay thinks, you know, what was evidenced in Northern California is really representative of how far they have to go and they'd be willing to re-rack. I don't see them thinking that way. Very few football programs can bring themselves to that mindset, and I don't think they'd be among them. It was curious. I understand the Rodgers complaint. I certainly get it, but the pity party that has ensued since they took Love on Thursday night, and I heard Tony Kornheiser about it today and others, it's not like they haven't put good players around him just because they haven't allocated first-round picks to the offensive side of the ball. Doesn't mean Green Bay hasn't equipped him with some pretty good skilled players around him his entire career there. He's had decent help. They've done very well in the draft with second-round picks, and they've gotten themselves help on occasion late in the draft with supporting players who got to another level largely because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that there's two things there, right? I don't know if it's a pity party as much as just straight-up confusion.
A lot of pity, Dave. You don't hear a pity party going on for him?
I don't know.
I demand a trade. I would. How in the world can they explain this? And he should be wanting out of there. And
he should. They won 13 games and went to the NFC Championship game last
year. Gotcha. Right. The things don't always go our way. If you're mad about it, I get it. I understand why he would be mad about it. But at some point, you got to shut up and go play. And hopefully,
well, he hasn't said anything. You know, right. like all of us get to react to it because we're just, you know, a bunch of blowhards
right.
with microphones who project
well,
our own
saying,
feelings
yeah,
on
what
Aaron
I'm saying
Rodgers.
When I say that, you know, shut up and go play, I'm saying if these thoughts are the ones that actually are occupying his head and he's feeling the same way some members of sports media America are feeling and talking about him and some fans and people on social media, what they're saying about it, if he feels that way, at some point you just got to put it down and go play.
I'm just saying, so it's like, so you're Aaron Rodgers, right? You're sitting at home and you're watching the draft. And then you see a first round, they trade up and they take a quarterback in the first round. And it's not exactly the same as when you fell to the Packers and Favre had been talking about retirement. Like, Rodgers has a bunch of years left on his contract, said he wants to play till he's 40, said he wants to play for the Packers his entire career. He's under contract. He had 13 wins last year, first year with a new coach, NFC Championship game, one game away from the Super Bowl. Sees them take a quarterback and says nothing. Right? We haven't heard from Aaron Rodgers. There's been no cryptic comment on Instagram, Twitter. He hasn't done an interview. Right. Didn't call back into Pat McAfee's show.
He's
but
busy
since
not,
the NFL
not paying any attention to his parents right now.
Well, that nice cheap drive-by shot on his family. And then since the NFL draft, it's been the biggest story in football. So everyone's weighed in, right? From clowns like you and me and Bart Winkler to Kornheiser and Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith and everyone in between. And we're all projecting how we would feel on Rodgers. And then now Brett Favre comes out. What the hell's Brett Favre doing here? And he says, yeah, I talked to Aaron. I'm not going to tell you what he says, but A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah.
And an interview on a national radio show with Rich Eisen. The next time Aaron Rodgers gets in front of a microphone, he's screwed. What he is has he going to answer to say?
For that? Yeah, he's got to answer to that now. What a dopey thing for a guy as old as Brett Favre is to have been at it as long as he's been at this to say, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but I'll guarantee you this: the wheels are turning. Well, you've just told us what he said. He's not happy, and he's looking at a future that doesn't include playing 8 times a year at Lambeau Field. That's what you just told us.
It's just a weird thing. And now, I admit fully that I'm pissed off on behalf of Aaron Rodgers because I'm a fan of watching him play, and I will fully admit that for me. But I'd love to know what the man's thinking, and Brett Favre may or may not have just told us, which is just a weird way to get that information. Get your questions in for 3 o'clock. We're going to can't do it / ask us anything, and maybe the most predictable story in pop culture came up again today. It's just hilarious. It's like you could set your clock to it. Like every 4 to 6 months, this happens. We'll get into it next on The Score.
Get off my plane.
Oh, I would never get on a plane with you, Mr. Ford.
Guy's wanting to die, isn't he?
What is happening with Han Solo? Like, based on this man's movie career, you would trust him to be the president, to find your ancient artifact, to, you know, the Millennium Falcon, to get you off the island, like, whatever the case may be. And this, the FAA is investigating an error while operating a plane on a runway that Harrison Ford was piloting. This guy crashes a plane or has a plane in the wrong place once every 5 months.
Yeah, I would think you survive one small aircraft accident. That'll do it. But certainly two mishaps.
That'll do it.
I love that soundbite.
Two
of them you would think, okay, I've been lucky twice now. It's time to give up my fantasy about being a pilot. But he doesn't seem like he wants to do that. He keeps giving it a go. And, I shouldn't yuck another man's yum, in the words of Chris Tannehill. I will always attribute that. But I don't understand it. It seems to be incredibly dangerous, and it seems like he is destined to perish that way. But that's Harrison Ford. That's a guy who has had some incredible stuff he can do on film, but this is the real world out there.
Buck.
And then he met Buck. Maybe he has his dog. Maybe Buck.
That's what I was wondering.
Wild was with him. Yeah. He figured if the dog
can co-pilot seat.
The dog got him sober in that movie. The dog helped him pan for precious metals. The dog was amazing. The dog could open doors. So maybe the dog can help him get a plane in the air in real life. I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know why he insists on continuing to do it. Learn your lesson, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, everyone has their own hobbies, right? And this one, apparently, like, there was a plane 3,600 feet away. He was supposed to stop. He came out into the runway. The plane was landing. There was no imminent danger of a collision. Harrison Ford, according to the air traffic controller, said, "Excuse me, sir, I thought exactly the opposite. I'm terribly sorry." And he got his plane off the runway, and the other plane landed safely, and all's well that ends well.
Devlin McGregor could give you Provasic.
But, like, you're 77 years old. You've crashed in a plane. You've been in trouble at the FAA. You've landed a plane on a highway. Like maybe you're done. Maybe it's time for other people to fly your plane.
Yeah. Even with all the FU money in the world, that's one hobby that I don't quite get it. Maybe it's just not for me, but obviously it's not for me. I don't want to even be in a small aircraft. I've only been in a real small aircraft once, and that was just to give Patrick a thrill ride and go for a 45-minute tour above the Chicago skyline. We took off out of that little airport up in, what is it, it used to be called Palwaukee, Chicago Executive Airport in the Northwest Burbs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Palatine meets Wheeling. I've done that once, and I was petrified. I was absolutely frightened to death. I was white-knuckled and sweating the entire hour we left it. We were in the air. I hated it.
I don't like 737s, so I don't have much interest in, you know, private aircraft and small planes and helicopters and all. You know, I go in like a puddle jumper or something, and you have a 50-person plane on like someone's like a regional jet.
Yeah,
I hate those.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are still, you know, not propeller planes. I've been in prop planes a few times, but it's just, it's very uncomfortable when you feel like if there's turbulence in a big plane, right, that holds a couple hundred people, mm-hmm. and that can bounce around.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about, well, what if I was in a small plane in this amount of turbulence? Like, if I'm white knuckling it in a jumbo jet being flown by United Airlines.
I know.
What if I was in this small, I would have a heart attack. I'd be the guy who dies from a heart attack because of turbulence. Like, the plane wouldn't even crash, and I'd be done.
I think your physics acumen is exactly what I get. And just like every day, it seems like a topic comes up, a subject that you weren't at Syracuse. I wasn't at Ball State the day they taught it, but we know we're right. I mean, we have to be right. It's just physics, right?
Yeah.
That little thing around, you're going to get knocked around. Yeah, I wasn't.
True, right? There's more turbulence in a small plane than a big plane, even if they can go faster to cut through it and get out of it, and they can fly higher and stuff like that. It has to be true that small planes are bumpier than big planes. Right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, a texter says, Mac, no fly-in fishing, and I'd forgotten. I've done that 3 times as well, and I don't need to do it again. Where the lake on which I fish is ample. I don't need to do it. I was just learning how to fish for muskies, so we went to a few smaller lakes, but I would not do that again. It was fun, but when they drop you, you're there. You're there regardless of weather. It's a lake. You're the only one on this lake for the entire day, and you better hope there's not thunderstorms or tornadoes or anything, because they ain't coming back to get you if there are, and they'd be back in the morning. But I would not do that again. I tried it. It was all right. Glad I did it. Glad it didn't crash. You know, this is an outdoors service. This is not a guy who, you know, is really good looking and studious and wearing a nice uniform and says, good morning, welcome to United Airlines. This is a guy with overalls chewing on a cigar. Hey, what's up, man? I heard you want a fish pincher today. My name's George.
Yeah, no thanks, George.
Although George wouldn't sound as much Kentucky as he would Canadian. I don't know why.
He almost got there.
I made him a Southerner. I don't know how I did that.
It's okay. Have you ever been in a helicopter?
No.
Me neither.
I had the chance to do it promotionally. There was a company that was taking off from what used to be Meg's to a golf course in the far western burbs. Prairie Landing, I believe, was the name of it. It might not have been Prairie. It was way out west, and they were doing stockbroker specials where they were taking off out of Meg's at around 3:30 every day and zipping people out to the western suburbs for a round of golf and then bringing them back. And they asked me to do it, I think with the late Tim Weigel from ABC7, who was shooting the piece, and I was going to be a part of his piece for the news, and I decided on the morning of, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in a helicopter. I chickened out, and I reneged, and I felt bad because I'd made a promise to do it, but I decided not to. No thanks. Not interested in a helicopter.
Yeah. I'm in Hawaii, and I'm going in this helicopter, and I'm going to the top of a volcano. I've never done that or been. I was in Hawaii a long, long, long time ago, but it's like, no. Not interested. The Chicago skyline in a helicopter. No, thank you. Like I've seen the skyline from Lakeshore Drive. I've seen it from the water. I've seen it from my condo. I don't need it from a propeller in this thing can get draft and crash. Not
interested. Let me ask you this, because this is one I did sign up for and it was canceled, was a tour of glaciers in Alaska via helicopter. That I was interested in, and we signed up for it on our honeymoon, but the event was canceled because of visibility problems. I'm glad they canceled. Oh, you can't see? Good idea to keep that thing on the ground today.
Yeah, I good for you for giving it a shot. The one that I was closest to that I feel a little bit of regret for was I had the opportunity to do a fly-along before an air show with – I don't think it was the Blue Angels, but it was like one of the trick planes.
Yes.
You know, that that'll go up, and it's not the Blue Angels, but one of them. And it's like, man, it would be so cool. And it's the type of thing that many people, no matter what type of money you have, there's only a limited number of opportunities and resources, and not everybody gets this chance. This is a goal of a lifetime for many people, but I'm just too chicken. I have no interest. Thank you very much. Let anyone else from the radio station do it.
I passed on it too. Yeah, I passed. I was the only one on my show who made weight. So but it was 220 was the max, and I was the only one who made weight. And I said, Sylvie, it's all yours, buddy. I do not want to do it. I decided a week before that. I don't need to throw up. I'm sure it'd be cool for a few seconds, but I know it's going to make me sick. And no reason to. Just, you know.
What a show of toughness we are.
Yeah, I'll take my chances on the ground.
Amen. This segment brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Grand Appliance has served Chicagoland since 1930 and remains committed to safely delivering and installing your essential appliances during these unprecedented times. Shop in-store, over the phone, or at grandappliance.com and get an additional 5% rebate on most appliance in purchases. All right, coming up, can't do it? Modified, digital style, no calls, texts, tweets, the board, anywhere in between. Max got a bunch of them. I got some of them. We're asking each other questions. We're asking each other questions that we're going to answer, but that you've wanted to know. We will answer for as long in the 3 o'clock hour as good questions come in. It's modified can't do it. Quarantine style. Next on The Score.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
You can't do it.
On 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.